This is Chair Rena Moran, pursuit of House Rule 10.01. I call this remote meeting of the House Ways and Means Committee to order. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran.
Present.
Moran, present. Vice Chair Olson.
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, present.
Garofalo, present. Representative Albright.
Present.
Albright, present. Representative Becker Finn. Representative Becker Finn. Representative Bernardi.
Present.
Bernardi, present. Representative Eklund.
Present.
Eklund, present. Representative Hansen.
Present.
Hansen, present. Representative Hassan.
Hassan, present.
Hassan, present. Representative Hertas.
Hertas, present.
Hertas, present. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, present.
Hornstein, present. Representative Johnson.
Present.
Johnson, present. Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, present.
Kreisha, present. Representative Liebling.
Present.
Liebling, present. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, present.
Lilly, present. Representative Mariani. Representative Mariani. Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, present.
Marquardt, present. Representative Miller.
Miller, present.
Miller, present. Representative Nash.
Nash, present.
Nash, present. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, present.
Nelson, present. Representative Noor.
Noor, present.
Noor, present. Representative O'Neill.
O'Neill, present.
O'Neill, present. Representative Pawlowski.
Pawlowski, present.
Pawlowski, present. Representative Petersburg, excused. Representative Pinto.
Pinto, present.
Pinto, present. Representative Schumacher. Representative Schumacher. Representative Schultz.
Present.
Schultz, present. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Sundin.
Present.
Sundin, present. Representative Becker Finn.
Becker Finn, present.
Becker Finn, present. Representative Mariani. Representative Schumacher. That concludes the roll. There is a quorum present.
So a quorum is present. And so our first agenda item is approval of the minutes from our hearing on Monday, April 19th. The minutes were included in the hearing documents emailed to you by committee staff. Are there any questions or corrections to the minutes? Being none, Chair Schultz, can I get a motion from you to approve the minutes?
That is my motion.
Representative Schultz, move approval of the minutes for April 19, 2021. Please unmute briefly for a voice vote. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. Well, members, we need to wrap up our work today at 10 o'clock. We are meeting because it has come to our attention that a part of the American Rescue Plan will have a significant impact on our spending obligations from the Health Care Access Fund. So I have requested that the Health Care and Human Service Omnibus be recalled from the floor to make the necessary adjustment here in committee where we can better vet the changes. First, we will need to amend the budget resolution, and we'll use that time to explain why we need to change the Health and Human Service budget. And then we will reconsider House File 2128 with an amendment to explain how we are changing the Health and Human Service budget. So to start, the chair will move the second engrossment of the 2021 House budget resolution in front of the committee and offer the A1 amendment. Chair Liebling, to help us understand the amendment, would you like to explain the information that you have learned about the federal interaction with your budget?
All right. Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair. And members, thank you for reconvening today to take care of this. This, I think, illustrates very well the complexity of what we're dealing with this year with the new federal money, which is a kind of a great problem to have. But nevertheless, it is a challenge for us to use the funds as they've been, as they're intended. As we know, we don't have a lot of guidance still on some of it. But what we're dealing with today is an issue that has just come up where we are required by the federal government as part of the AARP to reduce the premiums in our Minnesota Care program. And I'm going to ask Mr. Berg, our fiscal staff, to give a more detailed explanation, Madam Chair, if that's okay with you, because, you know, this is very complicated. And as I like to say, members, if people know what Rube Goldberg was, you know, he was famous for building all those machines where he'd put the ball in one end and then it would go through all kinds of things. That's kind of how the HHS budget works a lot of times. And in this case, there are interactions that happen here by operation of law. This is not anything that we've decided that we were going to reach out and use the federal money. It is happening by operation of law. And so that's why it was necessary for us to really, we had just different choices of how to handle this. And we felt that for the purpose of transparency and having a more thorough discussion, that it would be best to ask Chair Moran to hear the bill again and go through it here in committee. So I would ask Mr. Berg if he, I'm sure he's here, to please explain a little more how this is happening and what exactly is going on here.
Mr. Berg.
Madam Chair, and members, I'm Doug Berg. I'm the fiscal analyst for the Human Services Committee. To try to keep this relatively straightforward, which is difficult with this, the requirements under the ARA allow the state, or require the state if we want additional BHP funding, to adjust our premiums so that people on Minnesota Care are not paying greater than the amount they would pay for a benchmark plan in the on the insurance exchange. If we do that, which is a simple change that allows the Department of Human Services to adjust the premiums, it triggers a number of changes to state and federal financing. It reduces the amount of premiums that are collected by the in the Healthcare Access Fund. It increases the federal basic health plan reimbursement that we receive for the federal government by $169.7 million in the 22-23 biennium. Because in statute that money is appropriated to the Commissioner of Human Services for purposes of paying for Minnesota Care, or our basic health plan, which is Minnesota Care in this state. That $169.7 million gets spent first, and then the net effect of that and the change in revenue, premium revenue, reduces or saves $122 million gross in the Healthcare Access Fund in 22-23. And then the amendment that you will see makes some changes to the spending that we'll get to when we get to the amendment. So the budget resolution authorizes the $169.7 million in new federal BHP spending to allow us to realize the $122 million in reduced healthcare access fund expenditures. And that, Madam Chair, is sort of the high-level summary of what's going on.
All right. I think that's clear to everyone. But I want to thank you, Mr. Marks, for that explanation, and also thank Chair Liebling for walking us through that open introduction of what we're doing. What I would like to do right now is ask Mr. Marks if he could please walk us through the amendment to the budget resolution.
Madam Chair and members, the The amendment labeled A01, lines 1.3 through 1.7 of the amendment to the budget resolution, just add what Mr. Berg referred to as the additional federal funding under the American Rescue Plan. It's $169,716,000, and the actual title of the section of the American Rescue Plan is Improving Affordability by Expanding Premium Assistance for Consumers. It's section 9661, if you want to look it up. But that section of the American Rescue Plan is what authorizes that funding. The other change in the resolution on 1.8 would change the healthcare access fund target for the health and human services area from the $1.8 billion to the $1.758 billion number that's on that line. So those are the changes, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. So I see we have a question from Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And a question for Mr. Berg. Mr. Berg, thank you for walking through that. I apologize for asking you to repeat it, but I just have no visibility into understanding this area. So can you just do it a second time, and I'm just going to take some notes down so I don't have any follow-up questions. Just yep. Run through it again, the what triggers this, and then all the interactions.
Yeah, Mr. Berg.
Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, I'll try to keep it even more straightforward. What we are going to do is the amendment that will be offered, one thing it does is it allows the Department of Human Services, the Commissioner of Human Services, to adjust premiums in Minnesota Care to conform with federal requirements under the AARP. Under the section Mr. Marks cited of the AARP, if we conform our premiums to the level there, which are again is benchmarked to it sets them at the benchmark level on the insurance exchange, that unlocks $169.7 million in new, what is referred to in human services as BHP funding, federal funding for the basic health plan, which is Minnesota Care. That funding gets spent in the Minnesota for the cost of Minnesota Care before state appropriations for out of the healthcare access fund. So it has the effect of reducing expenditures in the healthcare access fund by $122 million gross in 2022-23. There's a variety of reasons why those numbers are different. Is not everybody's premiums go down the same amount based on their insurance cost. And most importantly, we also have a loss of revenue because we're reducing premiums. So there's a difference between the amount of federal money we get and the savings we receive in the healthcare access fund. But that's the basic thing. We reduce premiums, then we unlock $169.7 million in federal funding, which gets spent first and reduces our state expenditure on Minnesota Care by $122 million in 22-23.
Representative
Garofalo.
Madam Chair, Mr. Berg, so what is the dollar amount of the revenue loss from the premium reductions?
Mr. Berg.
Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, I do not know that number off the top of my head. I can find it and email you that.
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. And Madam Chair, Mr. Berg, would it be, is it more or less than the $169 million that's unlocked from the federal government?
Mr. Berg.
Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, the $169.7 million is the new money from the federal government. What that, because of premium losses, the savings to the state across both that money and the healthcare access fund are only $120 million. But we get $169.7 million in new money from the federal government. We spend it to realize a savings in the healthcare access fund of $120 million.
Mm. Representative Glasslaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Berg. And I appreciate your patience, Mr. Berg. This is, I think, Representative Liebling's comparison to the Goldberg machine is very appropriate in this situation. I guess I'm just trying. Is the premium loss reflected on the fiscal sheet spreadsheets?
Madam Chair, Representative Garofalo, no, but that is, I mean, that we don't, that's revenue into the healthcare access fund. So it is netted out within the, when we get to the revenue change, or see if I can explain this directly. When we get to the change, the item that is on the spreadsheet on line, beginning on line 541, called Minnesota Care Premiums Federal Conformity, it deals with the net change interacting between the healthcare access fund and the general fund, because this triggers a $65 million increase in the transfer into the general fund in fiscal 25. But we do not generally track premium revenue changes on the spreadsheet, because that's statutorily just goes into the fund. So we track spending or reduction in spending, but we don't track the premium change.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And a final question, Mr. Berg. Is this just an elaborate trick by Representative Liebling to just get us all to support single-payer health care? No, I'm just kidding. Don't worry. Okay. All right. Mr. Berg, as always, appreciate your patience. Complicated stuff. Thanks, members.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Berg, I'm just following up on, I think I'm tracking a little bit here. You're going to get $169 million, but it releases or actually saves us $122 million out of the healthcare access fund. But there is a difference of $47 million. Mm-hmm. So am I to presume that it isn't a dollar-for-dollar swap out of a federal match for what we would have taken out of the healthcare access fund?
Mr. Burge.
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, I mean, that is the nature of the difference, is we are saving 160, or we are receiving $169.7 million from the federal government, which gets spent on Minnesota Care, but it doesn't save us the same amount in the healthcare access fund because primarily of the loss of premium revenue, because what will happen here is some, I don't know, maybe most, I'm not sure if that's correct, some premiums will go down in the healthcare access fund, so it will receive less revenue. But then we still, the net savings is the $120 million in 22-23. There actually are some small costs to doing this, the administrative costs in 21 and some runout costs in 24-25. But we're just talking about 22-23 here. So we receive $169.7 million from the federal government and spend it. And that reduces our net expenditure, our net expenditure in the healthcare access fund by $120
million. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Berg, you mentioned that this receipt of this money triggers an outflow from the general fund of $65 million in 25. Is that based upon?
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, it goes into the general fund.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. It's a savings to the general fund, or a credit to the general fund of $64.2 million.
Okay. My mistake.
Okay.
So then, Mr. Berg, following on to that, so then this money that's coming from the ARA, is it going to be housed in the general fund or a dedicated fund?
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, by federal law, when we set up the BHP, the money, the BHP, Basic Health Plan that stands for, which is Minnesota Care, is defined as our Basic Health Plan. That money from the federal government has to be separate from the general fund, and it doesn't even go into the healthcare access fund. It's held in, I believe, the state federal fund by statute. and then it is statutorily appropriated to the Commissioner of Human Services for the purpose of paying for the basic health plan. And under federal law, that is the only purpose it can be used for.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Berg, and I'm not sure if you're the one to respond to this or if it might be Chair Liebling, but I do note that there is a budget line that proposes $2 million more for marketing of MinCare. Is that a, if you will, a string attached to this money released by the ARP, or is that something that's been precipitated by our own desires of marketing MinCare?
Mr. Burns.
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, that was included in the Department of Human Services tracking. I do not know if there is a federal requirement on that.
Representative Albright.
Just one final question then. Just to confirm, this is just one-time money. So then in our fiscal 24-25, we would revert back to the premiums that would have normally been the case had we not received the ARP infusion of dollars.
Mr. Burns.
Madam Chair, it is the case that this is only, we only receive these funds for the 2-year period. I am less certain about the exact answer to your statement about the premiums returning to the former level. That might be a better question for either the agency or Mr. Chun, if he's on. Probably for the agency.
Yeah, anyone from the agency can respond to Representative Albright's question.
Madam Chair, this is Dave Greenman with the Budget Director with the Department of Human Services. I believe this is the premium reduction provision that triggers the additional federal funds is for calendar year 21 and 22, and I believe that's what's in the legislation, I believe.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair, that's all.
Okay, thank you. All right, Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to follow up on a couple questions that we didn't really get answers for from that Representative Albright asked, which is there a federal requirement, since we've got the agency here, is there a federal requirement that we spend $2 million to advertise MinCare? That's question one. Question two has to do with, after this one-time money has been appropriated, are there federal ties to the change in premium going forward? So would we then have to backfill from the state money to backfill to continue those premiums at that rate?
Okay, who can respond to that? Would that be Mr. Burge or Mr. Greenman?
Madam Chair, this is Dave Greenman. I can respond to the marketing question. There is no federal requirement to do marketing for Minnesota Care. I think there was something the commissioner elected to put in as a, one of the things I think that's been noticed is that Minnesota, there's a lot of eligibility for Minnesota Care that people are unaware of. There are a lot of people eligible for Minnesota Care who are unaware of it. That's come out of the issues related to the pandemic. And I think that that's the reason for that. The other, for the marketing funding, the other question, no, we would not have to backfill for the premium revenue. I'm not sure if I'm understanding the question 100% correctly, but we would not have to backfill for the lost premium revenue.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I mean, going forward. So if we do this one-time adjustment with $169 million coming from the Federal CARES Act, or whatever this is called, the third federal package coming, then since we are required to reduce premiums, is that requirement going into the future, or is it only one time?
Madam Chair, Greenman. Representative O'Neill, it's one time.
Ms. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my suggestion would be to remove the $2 million from the MinCare spend on marketing. I mean, I literally can't watch TV without a commercial coming on about MinCare. I think it's, I just think there's plenty of money out there being spent already. So if there's a disconnect, there's a disconnect. But I just think that money could be used more appropriately somewhere else to help people reduce their premiums.
All right. So I see Representative Albright, you have a question, but what I would like to do before that, hopefully that you can be patient with this, is that let's move this amendment and get to the bill, and then we'll open up for questions again. So just for clarity, the House Budget Resolution does two things. It authorized the money from the federal government to be spent on Minnesota Care premium care subsidies, and then it reduces the total Health and Human Service spending from the Minnesota Health Care Access Fund, which give the Health and Human Service a lower target. So the chair renews her motion to adopt the A1 amendment to the second engrossment of the House Budget Resolution. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Aye.
No.
No.
The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So members, we will now move the Health and Human Service bill again to make changes that conform with the amended budget resolution. Since we have already debated and voted on the underlying bill, our discussion today, and I hope this works for Representative Albright, if not, we'll make space for that. Our discussion today will be limited on the proposed changes in the author's amendment. Chair Liebling, would you like to move your bill again and your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move the House File 2128, I think it's the second engrossment, to bring it before the committee. And then I would move the author's amendment, which is the A67-1 amendment.
Okay, can you explain the amendment?
Okay, I will give that a try, Madam Chair. Thank you. So this amendment lines up, first of all, it lines up the bill with what we just were discussing. So one of the things, I think Mr. Berg, in his last explanation, I think to Representative Garofalo, kind of stopped after that reduces the health care access fund spending. But reducing the health care access fund spending also has an impact on the general fund in that it reduces a transfer. So it actually creates more room. It reduces our spending in the tails. And so there are some additional spending items in our amendment here that adjust our spending to our target. So we are doing that. So there are a list of spending changes. So just to kind of run down, and I won't go through the numbers, but just to kind of run down what some of these are. So we have the postpartum extension of a postpartum coverage under medical assistance. In the bill, it's currently 6 months. We're extending that to 12 months. We are putting some additional money into the new dental, MA dental payments, that new framework. We are increasing the payments that are the kind of hold harmless provision under the carve out for prescription drugs in MA, which we've had a lot of discussion about. And there's this little issue with 340B funding that some entities lose under that change, which we are sweetening the pot of holding them harmless. We are increasing the local public health grants and the equity outreach, public health equity outreach funding. We are increasing home visiting funding, which we many of us feel is a very important issue. And there's a new item that is about the Native American Family Ombudsman, which is Representative Schultz's item. that I think she will be able to explain. There's eliminating the family glitch, another Chair Schultz item that I think she could speak to. So those are the funding items. There are also some other kind of technical changes in here. Of course, everyone knows when you have an omnibus bill like this, you almost always would have an author's amendment on the floor. And since we're here in Ways and Means, we are doing some of those changes here, thinking that, of course, it's better if we can make those technical changes and so on in this setting rather than on the floor. One big one that I would like to flag is that we are removing a study in here, a Department of Health study on maternal morbidity. And this is something that had I had a little bit more time when we were here before, I would have removed before we were in Ways and Means last time. But that is coming out of the bill because it has some data issues that we could not get resolved this year. And so that's something Representative Richardson is working on. It was part of House File 660. It was also a governor's provision. We're just taking that out of the bill for now because we just couldn't get to a comfortable resolution on the data issues. So let's see, I don't hope I didn't forget anything there. I would ask Madam Chair if you would call on Representative Schultz to explain a couple of items that she has in here.
Really quickly, Representative Schultz.
So one item is including language from House File 1273. This is Representative Keeler's bill that we heard in my committee. This is creating the Office of Ombudsperson for American Indian Families and allocating funds for that. And the second big piece is taking a piece from House File 11 and addressing the family glitch. So currently under the Affordable Care Act, affordability of health insurance is determined just by a single individual policy through an employer. We changed that affordability to include family coverage and looking to see if that's affordable or not. And if it's not affordable, meaning it's more than 9.873% of your income, you're eligible for Minnesota Care. And that fiscal note reflects, or technical assistance from the agency reflects, that around 1,500 individuals will be eligible. And then there's technical changes around customized living, and the date is extended to allow housing with services to use customized living reimbursement until June of next year. And then there's technical language from the administrative law judge for assisted living terminations and a better appeal process. And that's coming from the hearings that the administrative law judge had just finalized.
Okay, we have a couple. Thank you, Chair Schultz and Liebling. We have two questions here. Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. excuse me, I've got a little allergy, I think, going on. Chair Liebling, I just want to thank you for removing the six-month and moving to the 12-month on the postpartum. I supported that bill in committee, and I'm very glad to see that provision changed. I do have a question with regard to the – and these are just semantics, so I'm not really looking to derail the process. I note that we are expanding a number of coverages, and obviously not all of them are revenue neutral. I'm just wondering if you can explain in kind of a cursory view where those additional revenues or fundings are coming from. And then I have two follow-ups, Madam Chair.
Representative Liebling.
So thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Albright, are you meaning in the amendment? Where the money
is
coming from?
Yes, I am in the amendment. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Albright. Well, so this is all general fund, and this is funding that is freed up because of the reduction that happened through that whole Rube Goldberg process that we discussed before. So that's why there's additional funding, a lot of it in the tails, and allowed us to make some adjustments, such as the postpartum 12 months, which I am so appreciative that you see the value in that as well. And So that's why we had that. And I think Mr. Berg would, you know, to, for a more technical explanation, I think we'd have to go back to Mr. Berg. But this has to do with that statutory transfer that's in the Healthcare Access Fund. And when we have enough money in there to cover that transfer, it frees up money in the general fund. That's why we have additional spending in the HHS bill, because of that whole cascade of circumstance.
Representative Albright.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To follow on that, certainly from Mr. Berg, or Chair Liebling knows that number now, but I think it would be appreciable by the committee to understand what additional funding is necessary by these provisions, in terms of we're saving 122 million, but are we wiping that out by these additions, or is there additional funds that are appropriated to the general fund as leftovers, if you will, from these additions in the amendment? I do note the changes to the ombudsman, and while I certainly support that provision, from a mechanical perspective, I don't see, or I'm not familiar that it was seen by state government finance, which would have purview over that provision, if you could speak to that. And then I do note the hold harmless provision. I'm just wondering if that really is what it means. I've seen some other hold harmlesses, and I'm wondering if there's anyone that would disagree or dissent from putting that in the bill.
Chair Liebling, or should that be Mr. Berg?
Yeah. Oh, let me just say one thing before we go to Mr. Berg on this. Thank you, Representative Albright. So one of the things that we're doing, and what we're doing with the budget amendment change, is we did not, you know, there is money in the Healthcare Access Fund as a result of this, and we are not spending it. We are keeping that money in the Healthcare Access Fund, because we do recognize that after the ARP money is gone, after the end of the pandemic and so on, that we may face some cliffs. And we are trying to be prudent here and not spending all of that, not spending that money. And then I will let Mr. Berg respond to the rest of that.
Mr. Berg.
Madam Chair, Representative Albright, maybe the first thing I'll do is to try to clarify the big picture. Because you talk about savings in the general fund and the tails, and it gets complicated when we are, as I point out, there is on line 549, there is a credit to the general fund in fiscal year 25 of 64.2 million. That is the increase to a statutory transfer from the Healthcare Access Fund to the general fund. The statute requires there to be $122 million a year in transfer into the general fund if there's money in the Healthcare Access Fund. Up till now, there was not enough money in the Healthcare Access Fund to make that entire transfer. So this change makes that happen. Then, however, to look at the issue of savings versus spending of it, the budget resolution change that was just made did not change either the net general fund spending target for 22-23 for this bill, or the amount that is spent in the tails in the general fund. So if you look at there's a target tracker on the top of the detailed spreadsheet. The bill as it stands now spends $346.467 million above net general fund spending above the 22-23 base, less the $1,670,000 that is the early childhood target for Representative Pinto's bill that was added in. And then if you take off, there's $287,000 in savings that happen in fiscal year 21. So you take that off. This bill then has a net general fund spending of $346,510,000 above base, which is the same number as the budget resolution and as the way it was when the bill was in front of this committee last Thursday. The same dynamic holds true in the tails. Last week, the bill had, if you look, there are $300,105,000 above the 24-25 general fund base. And again, you remove the $885,000 net that is attributable to Representative Pinto's provisions. That leaves you with a net general fund spending in the tails in this bill of $299,220,000, which is the same net general fund spending under the A65 amendment that's before you as it is in the bill as it stands. So what you'll see is then is the changes that Representative Liebling was talking about do not impact the net general fund spending because of the use of the savings of the healthcare access fund. Now, biennium to biennium, that the savings that are the change that was just made to the healthcare access fund target is a reduction in 22-23 of $85,651,000 to the healthcare access fund target. But again, changes happen over 4 years. So the net improvement to the healthcare access fund after 4 years of changes, which are $33.8 million in 22-23 of increased spending, which are paid for by healthcare access fund savings, and then in the tails, a net change of, it's 71.9, but there are complications to that. Some of it's in the healthcare access fund and some is not. Anyway, the healthcare access fund goes from having had a zero balance in the end of fiscal year 2025 to having a balance of $13.5 million at the end of 2025 under this amendment. And again, the net general fund spending does not change in either biennium.
This is really complicated, but good information.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I didn't think that was going to be clear.
So I have one other person who needs to ask a question, Representative Schumacher. Is your question to the A67-1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I was just going to follow up on one of Representative Albright's questions about the 340B provisions, and Representative Liebling said that we were sweetening the pot for the hospitals. I was just wondering what that looked like. Thank you.
Chair Liebling.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And in our bill, there is a fund that is distributed among 340B providers to kind of keep them whole. Now, it's a little bit difficult because, honestly, even DHS doesn't seem to know. You know, we've heard complaints from them that they're going to lose money because of the operation of the 340B program, that they've been getting what I would call a hidden subsidy all these years coming through our medical assistance program. They're losing that, but nobody exactly seems to know how much it is. But we are putting additional money. There's a fund in our bill. It was about $8.5 million. And we are putting in additional money. And it's, I think it's $5 million, the first biennium, and then $10 million in the tails that we're adding into this fund to keep the providers whole. And you would also note that in the bill, there's also reporting for the first time, both by the providers and by DHS, or by the MCOs, I'm sorry, so that we can understand how much is actually flowing through this mechanism.
Representative Schumacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair, that's all.
All right, so why don't we move this? Chair Liebling removes her motion that House file, let's see here, so that we adopt the ACE, okay. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Liebling removes her motion to adopt the A67-1 amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. All opposed. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. We have one other amendment that we need to introduce, this, which is the A68 amendment. Who's carrying that amendment and would like to explain
I'll it. Offer that, Madam Chair.
Yes. Okay. Yes, can you explain it to us?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. The A68 amendment, members, apologize for the lateness on this. This was a correction that staff recognized, and it just really aligns the language of the bill to the spreadsheet. It has to do with an incorrect TAILS number, I believe. And if we need more explanation than that, I think Mr. Berg might be able to explain it, but it just aligns the language to the spreadsheet.
Any questions on that? Very technical. So then Chair Liebling renews her motion to adopt the A68 amendment. All in favor say aye.
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 The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Is there any further discussion? Chair Liebling, any final comments before we vote on the bill again?
No, just to thank everybody for their indulgence. I know this is really complicated stuff, and I really appreciate that we've had some discussion here so that, you know, it makes it so much easier than trying to explain it on the floor and having members be really confused on the floor. So appreciate staff's help on this for sure.
And then let me just also say that I agree with you that we brought this back to Ways and Means so we can vet it a little bit more here before we send it to the floor. So a lot of good questions, very complicated, but necessary. So there being no further discussion, Chair Liebling renews a motion that House File 2128, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register, and that nonpartisan staff be instructed to make any necessary technical corrections. Ms. Sparkman, please take the roll.
Chair Moran?
Aye.
Moran, aye. Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo? Garofalo, no. Representative Albright?
No.
Albright, no. Representative Becker Finn?
Aye.
Becker Finn, aye. Representative Bernardi?
Aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Eklund?
Aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hansen?
Aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hassan?
Aye.
Hassan, aye. Representative Hertas?
No.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein?
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Representative Kreisha?
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling?
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly?
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Mariani?
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt?
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Miller?
Miller, no.
Miller, no. Representative Nash?
Nash, no.
Nash, no. Representative Nelson?
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Noor?
Noor, aye.
Noor, aye. Representative O'Neill?
O'Neill, no.
O'Neill, no. Representative Pawlowski?
Pawlowski, aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Petersburg, excused. Representative Pinto?
Aye.
Pinto, aye. Representative Schumacher?
Schumacher, nay.
Schumacher, no. Representative Schultz?
Schultz, aye.
Schultz, aye. Representative Scott, excused. Representative Sundin?
Aye.
Sundin, aye. 18 ayes and 9 nays.
There have been 18 ayes and 9 nays. The motion prevails. House File 2128, as amended, is recommended for placement on the general register. I want to thank again Chair Liebling and Chair Schultz for your work and your commitment to, you know, just creating a better space for people around health and human service in our healthcare arena. So members, you know, what I just need to do this because I didn't do it yesterday, but I have like incredible folks, staff who have been just really team players and leading in such an awesome way. So I just need to mention Chris McCall, who has just done an excellent job as my CA, but also to Laura Sparkman, who is my CLA. They have been fantastic, awesome staff workers. So with that, members, I want to say thank you for your flexibility with the short notice for today's hearing. Staff will provide notice when the committee needs to convene again. And with that, we are adjourned.